Okay. Well, tonight, I'm going to do a little bit of the kingdom part because there's a couple of things here that I really wanted to emphasize, and this will give me an opportunity to hit it a couple times. So we're going to do a little Bible study on some of the slides that I put together for this kingdom series. And I want to cover some things I think that it's difficult for me to do on Sunday morning. You come, you got so many things you want to say. I got 6 months of stuff in my head, and I want to say it all in one time, and I know I can't. So I really have to relook at it and say, okay, what do I need to say at this particular point? And so tonight, I was thinking about it. I'd really like to emphasize this part here because I think this is a critical area. Now, who wants to take this challenge? This is Bible study, so you can interact or what have you. Stop me at any point. It's a Bible study. Who would like to stand up and quote John 3:16 for me? Who wants to take that on? Anybody? You know it. You've been knowing it all your life or whatever. Even if you don't get all the words right, but you got the gist of it, who wants to do it? John 3:16. All right. Did you look at any notes? The next verses that I'm going to give you, there are 8 verses in the book of Acts. I'm going to challenge you to know those 8 verses just like that John 3:16. He didn't have to look. It's in him. It's embedded in him. If you'll learn these 8 Acts, they're all in the book of Acts, verses just like John 3:16, you're going to be able to witness like you would not believe to anybody you come across to about the kingdom. How many think that's important? So, who would like to stand up now and quote one of the 8 verses in the book of Acts? Just one of them. There are 8 Acts verses that you have to know like John 3:16. You see what I'm saying? How important it is for us to study. How important it is for us to grow and to learn and to keep embracing the Word of God. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. But it does mean that we, when it comes to witnessing, we're handicapped. We're not in a position we need to really spread the gospel. And we need to be. So we're going to learn. That's why we teach. That's why we teach. We want to know those texts. And so tonight I'm going to try to cover those 8 Acts texts that is important for you to know just like you know John 3:16. And if you'd have been, you know why you know John 3:16? You know why I know it? Because all of our life we've been told it. So this is no different. If you get something like this and you get to going over and over, so you can't spend the one service, you can't take Sunday morning service here at one time and you got it. I read this stuff constantly. I won't even come up this Sunday without going back over the stuff that sets my mind right again to match those scriptures because I'm 6 months down the road wrapping up the rest of this study. But I won't even come up. There's no way I would do that until I went over several more times refreshing myself of the things because it's important. And I'll do it again and again and again and again. So the scripture that I'm going to give you throughout this whole series, I'm going to would have gone through those scriptures, each one of them, 50 to 60 times each. And that's been a rule. I always use that rule. Because I wanted to get inside of me. And it doesn't mean I memorize those things. Sometimes I do. Sometimes when I'm preaching, the Lord allows me to just quote several verses. That comes to my memory. Just like if I'd be seeing it and reading it. But it doesn't. It's not something that I practice on doing. I'm constantly doing. And you can tell you do the same thing with stuff that you're doing. All of a sudden, it becomes second nature to you. You just blurt it out because you know that. So that's what we want to do. So let's cover what we can. You can stop me anytime. It's Bible study. I just want everybody to know that. If you didn't know that, I don't care who's teaching. When it's Bible study, stop me, interrupt me at any time. and I'll stop. It's hard to do that on a regular service. It's hard to do that during Torah portion. We're trying to incorporate some of that. But on Bible study, I'm telling you to do it. Just say, no matter what point I'm making, I'll just try to make a mental note to go right back to where I was. But I want to make sure that you can interact, you can ask questions or what have you. So I'm going to start here on this 118 slide, and I'm going to make a couple comments, and then I'll get right to those verses in the book of Acts. Jesus was an impassioned preacher. That's something that you would think we wouldn't even have to say that nowadays. You need to be able to tell that to somebody, because some people don't even know that he preached anything. Basically, if you ask people about Jesus, the first thing they're going to tell you is he came to die. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Is that important? You better believe that's important. But was that the message? Was that his message? That's the price for his message. What he did, his death, burial, and resurrection was the price paid for the message. His death, burial, and resurrection is what gives you and I the opportunity to take part in the promise of the kingdom. That is important. So I want you to understand that. Luke 4:43, you've heard me read this now several times. I'm going to read this throughout this study lots of times. Can I overread it? No way. I can't overread any of these verses. That's why I'm not concerned about repeating this over and over and being repetitive. We need to have this. Luke 4:43. Who's familiar with Luke 4:43 now? Is it something that you're getting familiar with it now? Somebody says, what was Jesus' purpose? You go to Luke 4:43. Get that. Luke 4:43. You're going to get it, get it, get it, get it. And it's going to be a good start point to be a witness to somebody. But he said to them, this is the speaker, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Now, I don't have the slide here, but somebody find for me in this Bible study. This is your Bible, however you're doing it electronically. Somebody find for me the conversation Jesus has with Pilate. Remember the conversation he has with Pilate? And he tells and he talks about the truth. I remember that I did a little series called The Truth Project. Remember that? We've done that. Find the part where he's having this conversation with Pilate. And they're talking about the truth. And he says something similar to this verse here. Something similar to it. So if you can find that, as I'm going through, we'll make sure to come back and do that. So if somebody find that part where he's having his conversation with Pilate. Anybody got it real handy yet? Or say it again? Read it. Okay. So to get on this king message, they get on this conversation about what? The kingdom. And that last part, I want her to read it again. I want you to listen what he says. Because Pilate asked, Are you the king of the Jews? And he says, did somebody, you know, he's giving him this information. Did somebody tell you that, or you come to that in your own accord? That section right there, he's going to talk about something, what he came for, to testify of what? What's the truth? The gospel about the kingdom. Read that part again, just that part. That's this conversation with Pilate. I'm born for this reason. What reason? To testify to the truth. What's the truth that he's testifying to? That he's going to be a king in a kingdom, which is called the kingdom of God. And here's where people kind of go sidetracked. Because he says, my kingdom's not of this world. What does he mean there? What does he mean? So people say, well, you see, it has nothing to do with planet, it's this earth. What does it got to do with this? Is that what he's saying? Is that what is that the conversation he's having? There's going to be a different rule and a method in which he will rule. He's not going to rule under the world system. That system is going to have to submit to the rule of Christ, when he's a ruler. So there is something different. That's why we have to pray for thy kingdom to what? Come. Your rules, your regulations, just the system that's being prepared right now. Is it being prepared right now? It is. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, he's telling them, right, you can't come right now. Is there going to be a moment in time? Yeah, because what's going to happen? This whole event, this whole time that he's preparing, all of a sudden, when he comes, he brings the reward with him. And are they going to come to meet him in the air? Absolutely. That's what he says. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so I wanted to just point that out. Because it has everything to do with tying into Luke 4:43. So if you wanted another reference point to see what he's talking about there, that's what that ties in together. So his statement was correct in his statement to Pilate. Now, if we stopped at Luke 4:43, we wouldn't get the entirety of the message. Because he says in Luke 4:43, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. But look as we read on, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the what? Word of God. Notice that the kingdom of God is also called the what? Word of God. What we see when we think in the Western terms, when we see word of God, we think they come to hear the Bible teaching. Now, we know it's part of the Bible, but this is very specifically addressing the point that they came to hear the gospel about the kingdom. What is it called? The Word of God. And he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. So I want to emphasize that to you. From 4:43, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's his purpose. And people came pressed on him to hear the Word of God. The Word of God. So keep that in mind. You're going to need to know those terms as you're studying this out for yourself because they're very important. The next one, since the gospel of the kingdom is the heart and core of everything Jesus said and did, it is natural for those in the know. How many know, understand what that term is? In the know. So those are the ones would be involved. Those are the ones that were in from the onset. When it all got started, it would be it is natural for those in the know to refer to that great saving gospel message about the kingdom simply as the what? The Word of God. Are they talking about a different gospel? Is there another gospel? They're not talking about a different or another gospel. So those in the know, what would they say? They come to Jesus and say, hey, tell us more about the Word of God. What are they asking him? Tell us more about the kingdom of God. So now we're in the know. Isn't that nice? right? Because now those terms mean something to us. They're valuable to us. So they simply would say the word of God, which means the message. What's the message? What was Jesus' message about? If we titled his message, what would it be titled? Revealing the kingdom of God. That would be a title to his message. Or the gospel message. It also concerned the gospel. And I'll cover that a little bit more. Again, I'm going to go over this. We can stop. We can talk about it. We can move. But on Sunday, I run through these slides pretty quick. So this will be a great time for us to do this. Now, before I get started, in those eight texts that I want you to know, like you know John 3:16, look at Mark 1, 14 and 15. I'm going to cover this several times throughout this teaching, but I want you to get this. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says this. Now, after John had been taken into custody, well, this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist taken into custody, and basically Herod's got him in prison. Eventually, he'll lose his head. It'll be requested that the head of John be put on a platter to soothe his promiscuous type affairs that he was having with the woman of the wife of his brother and the daughter. So, and you can study that on your own time, just look at that story. So now that John had been taken into custody, he's in prison, Jesus came into Galilee. So into Galilee he comes, preaching the gospel of God. How many see that? Preaching what? Let's emphasize that. Everybody needs to emphasize. Jesus came to Galilee preaching. Preaching the gospel of God. Now, we're going to have it called some stuff later on by Paul, which creates a lot of confusion to a lot of people. I was witnessing to a guy one time, and he was telling me, well, you know, we're under the gospel of grace. Where'd you get that? Did it just kind of pop out of thin air, or did it come from something? What about God's gospel? Well, I don't know. He don't even know where that's at. He ain't never heard the term. Listen, everything that you call it has to come from somewhere. I submit to you, it started with the gospel of God. Doesn't that sound like the beginning part? I think it would sound like, you know, we're going to teach, and we're going to teach the gospel of God, God's gospel. Wouldn't you want to start right there? Well, Paul said this. Well, Paul came after God. So we're going to have to check Paul out. So if he said that, he's going to have to match what God said. Not God, somehow, what he said, going, we throw it away and we just take up with Paul. And that's exactly what happened all around the world. People took up with what Paul said and forgot what? The gospel of God. What would Jesus preach? The gospel of God. Let me tell you what I believe is going to happen, and it's happening. There's no doubt it's happening. The very things the devil has schemed and plotted and so sneaky hid from the multitudes and masses over the years, the Lord, by his Spirit, and those who submit to the Lord, he's pulling all that off, and we're starting to see right through it. We're starting to see all the scheming and the plotting and the using the church just like pawns. He would move them and laugh. He just laugh. Look at them, how silly they are. And it's all going to be revealed of those who just love the Lord. If you seek, he says, call upon me while I'm near. Seek me early so you can find me. Call upon me while I'm near. Those are important things. He's not just talking to have words to say. That means a lot. And when you do that, there's something about it. So, he's taken into custody, and Jesus is preaching the gospel of God and saying, watch what he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, first of all, if anybody knows what you got to do to be saved, it ought to be the one who's going to ultimately pay the price to purchase what he's talking about. Don't you think? So what does Jesus say you got to do in order to be saved? And do what? Repent and do what? Believe the gospel. Think about that. Believe the gospel. Now, there's a difference between believing there is a gospel. You believe in the gospel? Oh, yeah, I believe there's a gospel. When you believe what the gospel message is, what is that? There will be a kingdom, and it will be on this earth, and Jesus will be king in Jerusalem in that kingdom. See, those are, you don't just believe it in it. You got to believe what it says. So, you see how we got to really look at what we've been believing? You believe in Jesus? Oh, I believe in Jesus. But you have to repent, right? That's the first thing. Jesus said we have to repent. What does repent mean? What does it mean to repent? That's a part of the answer, being sorry. But to turn completely around. If you want to know the action of repentance, because this is the way we're going. We're going this way. All right? And we know that it's not the right way. To repent means I followed that system, the world system. I followed it with everything I had. Whatever they told me to do, whatever they told me to say, however I wanted to live, they told me to do this, do that, I did it. Now I'm going to repent, and I'm going to follow God's system, and I'm going to go this way. This is God's system. Let me tell you what God's system doesn't do. It doesn't parallel the world system like that. It's the other way. That's how you know you're repentant, because you're not still, some people just parallel. They get like on the shoulder of the same road they've been on. They feel better. They're not in the traffic. They don't feel like they're going to have a massive wreck anymore. They feel a little bit better. How many of you have been on the highway and the truck's on, and the 18-wheelers, and you get on the shoulder, you feel a little better. You're still on the same road. You're not on a different road. And you'd feel much better if you wasn't on the shoulder and you took an exit and you was going somewhere where you can get some help. That's repent. Repent means to turn. You turn. Now I'm going God's way. There's two ways. There's a straight, narrow way that leads to life. And there's a broad road that leads to destruction. We were all on the broad road. Now, you can get on the straight road, and you can mess up on the straight road. But there's a whole set of rules that applies to that part that's different from the other, what got you to repent. If you sin on this road, you have an advocate with the Father who's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Oh, let me get that out. I understand. I know you. I remember when I was tempted with that. And he'll help you along the way. How can he help you? Because he was tempted and never gave in to the temptation. He's going to strengthen you. Where he was strong, where we were weak, we gave in. Where he was strong, he'll strengthen you in that area. How many know that's part of growing in God? Nobody who repented from the original terrible road you was on of destruction and went the other way, nobody that I've ever met who's got on that straight road has never made a mistake. We've all made mistakes. But we have the one who can help us through every mistake we ever went through. He said, I'm going to tell you what you got to do here. How did he have that experience? Because he was tempted in all points, as we, yet without sin. Isn't that amazing? Well, don't you want to listen to him? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there's two things. They also say, meaning at hand, meaning it's in the hearts. It's in your heart. So, and the ones who teach that believe there's no literal kingdom. Okay? It's no literal kingdom. If that's the case, then the second coming had to happen already. Because he said the kingdom wouldn't come until you see these things. What's the one thing you're going to see? D of A of D? That's a good way to, right? You're going to see abomination, a desolation, then the kingdom's coming. Did we see that yet? Never happened. So, exactly. Because they don't study it in depth. Now, in was the kingdom, in order for us to start living in that kingdom mindset, at hand? It was. It literally means this. It's at arm's reach. What was he talking about? The kingdom's at arm's reach. If I'm talking to you, if I'm come right here and I'm talking to Jacob, all right, now reach out your hand. I'm not there yet, but if I get close enough to him and he can touch me, I'm at hand. That's what it means in the Hebraic sense when it says the kingdom's at hand. Who was at hand at that particular time? That's what he was talking about. I'm right here. But then they asked this question with that same thought in mind. In Acts, one of the verses we'll cover, they said, is it the time that you're going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? So they were thinking, yeah, this is it. This has got it. Here he is. But what does he say? What's his answer? He talks about him not knowing. He said, this is so. And then he ascends. So then what does Joseph of Arimathea do? He talks about waiting for the kingdom. When is that? After the ascension. They didn't give up. So the early saints, they knew that this kingdom was real. But you're exactly right. Take in that scripture and say it's at hand, meaning it's already here, or it's got to be in the hearts of people. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible. Yep. Unger's Bible Dictionary. Pull it up and look up the definition of the kingdom. I wasn't going to do that tonight. But if you can find it, Unger's Bible Dictionary. Not a secular dictionary. Bible. Who's ever heard of Unger's Bible Dictionary? Anybody? It's a famous Bible dictionary, and I've used it so many times. All right? And it's their definition or their comment about the kingdom. I don't know if it's kingdom of God. I don't have it in these notes here. But if somebody can find a Bible dictionary and definition. While we're doing that, you're looking. I'll cover some more stuff. But hopefully I covered that question. That's why. And that, listen, this is not something that kind of they felt and it went away. This is one of the major, major belief systems of today. Is that the kingdom's in the hearts. It's already here in the hearts of man. But, you know, if that's the case, then what are we doing with all the rest of the scripture that still have to be fulfilled in order for the kingdom to come? And if that's the case, why would Jesus say, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy king. Why would he ask us to pray for something to come that's already come? Somehow we're going to have to shift something around. Either Jesus don't know what he's talking about, or the people who interpret the kingdom's at hand, they missed the interpretation. I submit the latter to be true. They missed it. You got to take, listen, when you interpret scripture, you got to take the entirety of all the verses. Look at them carefully. Look at them again carefully. Prayerfully consider them. Ask for the Spirit to give you insight and understanding that you don't just say, I don't know. That's what I do all the time. So I don't know what I'm looking at here. And I don't want to lead nobody wrong. I don't want to confuse nobody. And what he does, maybe in the night, I've woke up with just stuff going on in my head, just words. And all of a sudden, oh, I remember those words is in a verse somewhere. I go to my word search and I find it. And I might wind up, and when I'm done, 50 verses. Just by waking up in the middle of the night with a couple words. But I prayed the evening before and said, Lord, teach me. If your spirit, you said your spirit teaches all things. I want to understand this. I really do. I want to teach it right. And that's some of the things that I don't think happened when people were doing translations. And secondly, I think a lot of the translations, they were biased to keep their own traditions in play. They would translate to a certain degree and then stop because they didn't want to take their traditions out. That's a dangerous thing to do because you're adding to. You can't add to or take from the text. And that's some of the things that I think is important for us to remember. So in this particular Mark, he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's within hand's reach. It was that a true statement. If you look at the entirety of Scripture, Christ was there. He was standing there. It is at hand. It's at arm's reach. Was it the time he's going to fulfill it or restore the kingdom back to Israel? He said, no, basically. I'm going, but I'll come back. And that's when that whole thing. And so if you read in the rest of Scripture, you find out when it's going to happen. So repent. Remember what you got to do to be saved. What's the things you got to do to be saved? Repent and do what? Believe the gospel. What gospel? Did he mention anything in that up to this point? Did Jesus even tell them that he was going to die, be buried, or rise again? No. What gospel then? Gospel of the kingdom. The one he'd been talking about. Or the gospel of God. Or the word of God. Now the word of God does not mean the entirety of the Bible. Remember that. It's very, when he says word of God there, the word of God is very specific to the kingdom message. At that particular part. Right? So that's something to just think about. So if I tell you, if you say to somebody, I live in Burris, Louisiana. And they say, oh, you live in the United States? That's true. Right? That's true. You live in the United States of America. Because that's where Burris, Louisiana is. But Burris, Louisiana is a very specific place in the United States of America. Right? So if I say the word of God, you take it as the entirety of Scripture, the Bible, you miss the point he's teaching. What is he teaching? He's teaching not about the United States of America. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. You understand? That's a good way to help you remember. It's a good way to help you remember. What is he teaching here? About the United States of America? No, he's teaching about Burris, Louisiana. You see? So we know that Louisiana and Burris is in the United States. That's important. Right? So just keep that in mind because you need to know those things. These are just basic things. Since the gospel of the kingdom is the heart and core of everything Jesus said and did, it is natural for those in the know to refer to the great saving gospel message about the kingdom simply as the word of God, which means the message or the gospel message. So that's something you're going to know that. Now, Acts 20, this is part of some of the Acts text, but I'm going to read this one. And I'll come back and we'll read it again. Acts 20, 24 and 25. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. Notice these words. I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. This is Paul. So that I may finish my course in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. To testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. That's where everybody parks, gets out, and tells the world about the gospel of the what? Grace of God. That's what I run into. This is what I've been running into. This is the tough spot. You know why we run into that? I gave you another verse. What's the other verse I gave you? 25. See, 24. And right behind 24 is 25. I wonder what it says. And now, same guy talking. Behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the... What's the gospel of grace? It's just another way to say the kingdom. Am I making this up? Is this not like just plain? It's right there. Whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Listen, he knows the Lord told him, Paul, you only got a few more days, buddy. I know God, but I'm willing to lay my life down, however it is. You think maybe if you got told you got a couple days, you're going to get your message right. I would think, he's no game play. This guy's serious. So I'm going to read it without stopping now. All right? And you tell me what you get out of it. Did you get a whole new gospel message? Oh, you tell me. I'm going to read it without stopping. Okay? Acts 20, 24, and 25. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Come on now. If you just read the verse right after you built your doctrine, you would find out your doctrine's wrong. So now we got ultra grace, greasy grace. You call it whatever. They've got all sorts of grace. And people say, well, I'm under grace. I don't have to do anything. I don't keep no rules. I'm under grace. I'm under the grace of God. Well, you're missing a point. You ask them, well, what about the kingdom of God? Oh, that's in my heart. So you mean all them scripture, all the stuff Jesus preached about, you just got to grace and you said, that's it. I'm under the grace. Yeah. No matter what I do, once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Once saved, always saved. You can't backslide. Really? You can't turn away. Like all them stuff he talks about, turning away and being entangled again with the yoke of bond and all that stuff. Again, being entangled again means you was there, you got out, and you went back. I mean, this is clear stuff. But not to those folks. Those folks said, I did not, no matter what I do. I know the Lord sees my faults and failures, but it don't really matter because I'm under grace, the gospel of grace. It's been a tough thing. It's really having. It's a lot of people. I tell you, it's a tough thing to witness, people who use that. But if they just read, what does the gospel of grace mean? Listen, don't you think it's grace that God would say, you know what, none of you deserve the kingdom. I'm going to let you in because my son's going to die. And he'll pay the price for you. I'd call that grace. But do you think what he did to pay for it, and he called it grace, changes what you're ultimately going to receive, which is the kingdom of God, that you may rule and reign with him for 1,000 years? You don't change that story. How many get what I'm saying? Sometimes I'm going over this and I'm listening to what people say. I'm going, shake our head, do something, because I don't know how we got that far off. Is it grace when you're talking about the kingdom of God? You better believe it. It's grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's why I'm under the gospel of grace. For by grace are ye saved. Oh, we understand that. He's telling you what he paid for you to get saved. But what are you saved to? Where you going with all this saved grace? Saved? Where you going with it? And that's when, of course, we don't know, because we separated the two gospels. And so we have to come up with a place, a destination. And what do we call that destination? Heaven. Right? We got to call it something. How many took your time to do some of your little homework and looked it up, all the heaven scripture? The final destination of the believer. Look it all up. And then take time and find all the kingdom text. Let me tell you, it's quite the task to get all the kingdom stuff down. You're going to spend a lot of time writing from verse to verse to verse to verse to verse. And you're not going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out how everybody's going to be in heaven for their final destination, because it's just not there. It's not there. We assume things. We take something. Well, Jesus said he's going to his Father's house and he's got plenty of mansions. And if it weren't all, he said that. Well, we know he said that. Well, you think kingdom being built right now? That's why he said, pray thy kingdom come. The kingdom's got to come from somewhere. Is it just he's going to wait till the last day to put it all together? No. It's being put together now. This system of perfect plan. But why are you going to need that? You have to understand. How many know that we can look at television, we can watch the news, and we can talk about who we like and don't like, but how many know it's not an easy task to run a government? It's not an easy task, because I don't care what side you want to be on, it's imperfect. Any side's imperfect. There's no side, even though they call it the left and the right. Just because it's called the right don't make it right. It's imperfection, because it's a system that's governed by the devil. Remember that. Not God. It's a system governed by the devil. Who's the prince and power of the air? The devil. Who's the ruler of this world? The devil. Let me go one step further. Who's the God of this world? The devil. That's what scripture says. So let's not they just need to pray. They'll get it. Listen. The only thing is going to save the world is Jesus. Do you understand that? It's the only. Why? Because God said so. He's going to send Jesus as the King of Kings, sit on the throne of David, and he's going to rule this world. He's going to rule it. It's going to have peace. They're going to talk about peace. They're going to act like peace. They're going to think, we got it figured out. We're going to solve the world hunger problem. We're going to get it all right. And let me tell you, it's a trick from the devil. And he's going to suck the masses in. Masses of people are going to be sucked in. You know who's going to not go in? Those who've been studying the Word of God, praying, seeking the Lord. They're going to see it and they're going to know the truth. And the truth's going to make them free. And all of a sudden, that great world leader, that peace bringer, he's going to stand up in a house of God and desecrate the temple of the Lord. The abomination of desolation standing in the temple. Get ready. When you see that, I'm coming. Because my Father ain't going to put up with that. That's what's going to happen. So when Jesus comes, you're going to have a whole world. It's not like the world's going to blow up. It's going to go into micro, minute pieces. And then he speaks, and the Lord created the heavens. He's not doing that. It's called restored. Restored. Do you restore something that never existed? No, that's crazy talk. You restore what already was in existence, and you bring it back to its original state. And I've explained this several times with people who do automobiles. And we had a friend of ours, does that in Oregon. He takes stuff, he goes to the junk pile. Literally. Crazy. I mean, just rust buckets. No, don't have to have no engine tire. He don't care about that. He wants the frame. He takes it down to the mere frame and he starts working on it in that shop. And he gets that metal right, and then he adds whatever's missing. If he needs to build a fender, he builds a fender. He's a master at it. I mean, he takes that metal, he bends it, he tacks it, he beats, gets it in shape. I rode in some of the vehicles he's done, sort of before and after picture. I said, "There's no way." He said, "Yeah, it was a piece of junk. It's junk. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's sad, but this world is going to come to a spot where it's going to be junk. But then Jesus is going to come. And it's not going to be like it is now. It's not going to be like that. And when he comes, his administration is not going to have to be voted in. He don't care what the Congress or the Senate thinks, because his administration has been waiting patiently. You know what he tells the apostles, the 12 apostles? He said, if you stick with me through this, you're going to sit on 12 thrones and you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. You don't think them, listen, they're waiting for their shot. When they raise up, he's not going to say, well, that's okay, everybody. Raise your hand if you want Peter to run the tribe of Dan. He's not asking for that. Ain't no vote. It's already his administration, his cabinet is already in place. Now, where do we come in? We come in because we're going to do what God's asked us to do. He gave the talents. He gave 5 to one, 10 to another, and 1 to another. And do something with those talents. If you don't do something with them, but the ones who done something with them, the one that had 10 made 10 more. The one that had 5 made 5 more. The one that had 1 just better. He said, I was afraid. You take what you don't, I don't know what to do with you. You know how you learn how to do with Jesus? It's called relationship. Talking to him, finding out. He said, I just thought, you know, you do something that, you eat in a house you didn't build. Live in a house you didn't build. Eat from a vineyard you didn't plant. You know, I figure I put the thing in the ground. What's the point of me doing anything? The point is, because he asked you to. He gave you that responsibility. I'm gone. It's your responsibility. You got to do something. There's a lot of people that don't want to do anything. Well, I don't preach. They're not talking about preaching. Preaching might be part of your talent. It may not be, but you got one. And if it's just one, don't bury it. That's a whole nother message. I told you, I got 6 months. 6 months. I'm not going to do all 6 months tonight, but I want to. All right. Let's go through this real quick. We're running out of time. This is the 8 kingdom texts in the book of Acts. 8 of them. You got to know these like John 3:16. Okay? 8 kingdom texts in the book of Acts. Let's go through them all. Acts 1, verse 3. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs. I talked about this on Sunday a little bit. He 6 weeks he stayed with them. By many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days. So 6 weeks, what is it? 6 times 7 is what? 42. That's why I use the 6, okay? 6 weeks. 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Not only did he preach it before he died, he preached it after he was risen for some 6 weeks. To me, important, right? If you got 6 weeks and you know you're going to go to the Father, right? You know that. You're going to the Father in 6 weeks. You would pick the most important things you got to talk about. Wouldn't you? You got 6 weeks. What did he do? He talked about the kingdom. Very important. We have very little kingdom preaching around the church world today. Very little. Okay, how many's got that one? What's the first one? 1-3. You know you're going to be in 1 for a little bit. Now, the next one. 1-6. Acts 1-6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, Lord. How many see that? That's Kitty. He says, Lord. What does that mean? Lord Messiah. Lord Messiah. Same Lord of Psalms 110:1. My Lord says to my Lord. The Lord says to my Lord. Same thing. Lord who? Lord Messiah. Adonai speaks to Adoni. Remember, the vowel point is very important there. Gets dropped off in some translations. Kind of misses it. But the Lord says to my Lord. Who's the speaker? David says, and he calls Jesus his what? My Lord. Lord what? Lord Messiah. Not his Lord God. If we got a God there and the other one's talking, we got two gods. Right? And we don't want to get into polytheism, right? We don't want to get in that. So, if we say Yahweh says, this is David, he says, Yahweh says to my Lord Messiah, sit at my right hand. You see? It's beautiful when you leave it set right where it's at. It's absolutely amazing. So, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? What is it going to do? Restore the kingdom to Israel at this time. How'd they know that, by the way? We're talking about the, you know, Brit Hadi Shah. How'd they know that? Did they read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet? Never existed. Didn't exist. How'd they know that? Because of the prophets. And I'm going to get on that. Just that's a whole teaching all its own on the prophets. And it's got a lot of verses. All right, number three. Acts 8:12. So we got Acts what? 1. And now 8:12. But when they believed Philip. Let me see that. They believed Philip. Preaching the good news. Philip was a preacher. He did what? He preached the good news. What is it? Also another word for good news? Gospel. Remember that. Gospel would be defined as what? Good news. Gospel is defined as what? Good news. So that he's preaching the gospel about the kingdom or the good news about the kingdom. Remember that. So Philip's preaching the good news, or we can use the word gospel, about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Or is he doing? He's talking about the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of Jesus Christ. He's letting us know that it's through Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, that I'm preaching to you the gospel about the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom. Because remember, we have to have something to hope in. We have some. What is the hope? What's the hope? Now abideth. So you can't say the hope is faith. Remember, faith is the action of believing the things God said about what he's going to do, which is the hope. And he does it all because he loved me. Now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. So what does people do? Oh, you don't need to do anything but love. See, similar to your question. They'll take something like that and say, well, the greatest is love. Just because it's the greatest, does it mean the rest aren't important? Now abides. Remember that. Now abides. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Because if you think about the love of God, that he would give the grace me, and then teach me, tell me about what he did, that I have to have faith, I have to trust that what he says is true, in the hope, which is the kingdom, that destination. It's an amazing picture, beautiful. So he preaches the good news about the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. They were being what? What happened once they hear that? They were being, notice that, being baptized, men and women alike. Being baptized, men and women alike. That's why I don't know. We can't get away from that. The baptism. And how many know Philip was the same guy on the road in the eunuch? Is there reading? You remember that? He's just the same guy. And the eunuch, he goes to the eunuch and says, do you understand what you... He said, how can I understand unless somebody tell me? He starts expounding in the truth of the Word of God, and he says, then what happens? What does he do next? He baptizes him. So notice that all around Philip, so we can't get away from that. You can't get away from the baptism. The baptism in the water is something I think is very necessary to the church, and it's almost where it doesn't exist in large, large numbers in organizations around the world. Don't even exist. It's not even a mandate. Listen, if you believe in the kingdom, and you've never been baptized, that's something you need to do. We can make an offer to you. We can say, anybody that needs to be baptized, please see us. And that's something that should never be prevented from being baptized. How many understand that? So keep that in mind and also make that a point of your witness to other people. Now, Acts 14:21-22. Acts 14:21-22. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. How do you enter the kingdom of God? Through many tribulations. So that whole, I get snatched away in the nighttime while all the rest of you stay down here and go through all this trouble is wrong. This secret rapture that's been let loose on the church world. This Left Behind series. All of that is not following Scripture. Does not follow Scripture. Now, I said to you, on Sunday, is there going to be a gathering together of the believers? Well, sure there is. If you want to call that the rapture, you go right ahead and call it that. But it's not until the abomination of desolation. He don't come until the abomination of desolation. He's what he said. He's not coming back until the abomination. When you see the abomination of desolation, then he's going to return. We hadn't seen that yet. They know. How many know Israel is still functioning as a country? It's not going to be so nice when all breaks loose in Israel. But whatever it takes to turn people to the Lord, he'll do whatever it takes. And there'll be some who will turn. There'll be a remnant. That's what he says, a remnant. But the masses won't. They won't do it. They're going to keep following tradition and get caught up in those things. Through many tribulations. Notice that. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Not going to be easy. But we got the Lord on our side. Did children of Israel get out of Egypt with just nothing going on? There was a lot of stuff happening. Do you know that? A lot of stuff was going on. But how many know God protected them? There's a certain point he protected them. And I believe that same thing holds true for those who are alive and remain. I believe that. Listen, it doesn't matter to me. I'll go either way. If I die, my next conscious second is going to see him. That's why it don't matter. Though it might have been somebody died 100 years ago. They don't know it's been 100 years. How you know when it's dead? The Bible says there's no knowledge in the grave where you're going. That's what it says. No knowledge in the grave where you're going. So if there's no knowledge in the grave, how you know it's been 100 years? The last thing you remember is seeing your loved ones over the bed saying, we love you. And then you went to sleep. You died. You don't know nothing. The next second you know something, guess who's looking at you? The Messiah. He's saying, hey, you ready? You think you're not going to wake up and shout glory? You better believe you are. Because it's going to be no different than a man who died 1,000 years ago. Let me tell you, Abraham's waiting for that moment, the resurrection. That's why Paul preached it so adamantly. He preached it. He said, if there's no resurrection, we're of all men most miserable. Go have a party, get drunk, sleep around, do whatever you want, because you live and die. It's over. Listen, we got to get out of that type of system, because it's not from the Word of God. That system crept into the church early on, and we have to be careful that we don't take that on. And that's it, just what it is. It's been the enemy's been attacking ever since the onset, and he's still attacking. That's why we got to refresh ourselves in the Word. That's what I can't get people. You tell them, why don't you go back and read the scripture again? There you go. You know, I got folks mad, getting mad at me because I ask them that. This is not just regular. I'm talking about preachers. Why you got to go back? If you keep reading it, you're going to you're going to find something wrong. No. I'm not reading it to find something wrong. I already found something wrong. I'm reading it to find what's right. That's the opposite. I'm not reading trying to find something wrong. I already know something's wrong because we're not doing what God said we could do. If we're not doing that, something we missed. We got to go back and read it. Acts 19:8. I hope you can see. I'm passionate about this stuff. I'm passionate about it. This is serious stuff. Acts 19:8. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Where was Jesus at this time? When Paul is doing this, where is Jesus? At the right hand of the Father. If it's over when Jesus leaves, what is Paul wasting time for? In this particular instance, 3 months. What is he doing? It's a waste of time. What is he doing? Let me tell you what he's doing. He's continuing. Meaning before, when he started the 3 months, what he was doing before that was the same thing he's still doing now for this. He entered the synagogue and continued saying the same thing he was saying from the time he was called into ministry. Speaking out boldly for 3 months. How many ready for that anointing right there? That's what I've been praying for. How many ready for that right there? Who wants to be able to speak out boldly concerning the kingdom of God? Who's ready for that? Because let me tell you got to have the anointing come on you for that to happen. Because if not, we're going to keep our mouth shut. We won't say anything. We don't want to stir up nothing. What about, what do you mean stir up? So because it's all wrong, we're not supposed to say what's right? Do you really believe, this is the question, do you really believe that the kingdom of God is real? Do you really believe that it's going to be the final destination of the believer? Do you really believe the kingdom, once Jesus has accomplished everything the Father set for him to accomplish, that Jesus is going to turn the kingdom back over to the Father, as it says in Corinthians? Do you believe that? That God himself, as it says in Revelation, is going to step down into that perfect kingdom and he'll become the light of that entire place. Do you believe that? If you do, then we have to speak out boldly. Listen, how come 1 million people can say Michael the archangel is Jesus Christ? How's that possible? Not 1 million, like 7 million. And that's okay. 7 million, whatever. It could be more than that now. It may be more. I might have my numbers wrong. But can you imagine 7 million people, they can go around saying that Michael the archangel is really Jesus Christ. Or Jesus is Michael the archangel. To which of the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand? That's the only thing I want to ask him. All right? To which of the angels said he, God, at any time, sit on my right hand till I make your enemy. Who did he say that? To what angel? Well, Michael. No. He said, he's asking a question and he knows the answer, right? So if you're asking a question and you know the answer, that we call that something in America. What do we call that? Rhetorical, right? So that's what he was doing. To which of the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand? Come on, give me a break. To none of them. But that, son, is what's been begotten. Because Gabriel said, that which is begotten in the womb of Mary will be called the Son of God. Not an angel. But 7 million, you think 7 million people can have it wrong? They knock on your door. They come visit you every now and then. I just gave it away. Right? You look through the blinds and say, ooh, don't say nothing. Turn the TV off. You need to quit doing that. Because you can speak boldly of the things of God. Lights on. Turn the music up. Y'all come on in. We just had coffee poured. Come on in. I'm so glad. I've been praying for you to come. You know what? We don't do that. They don't believe like we believe. We ain't got nothing to say. wrong position to take. If somebody's going to come to your door, that's your property, you need to invite them in and say, here's the deal. Lay it out. You know why we don't? We don't know. We really don't. We just come get our little shout on, sing our three songs, have our sermon, go home, and we think we done something. You are the light of the world. We know the world don't have it right. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. How many ready for this? Because it's going to come. Who is it? Oh, don't say nothing. Don't go to that door. Get here. They there? Yeah, they there. Shh. They there? They walk into the van. Who could? Don't you make a move. They in the van? Yeah, they backing out the driveway. All right, turn everything back on. Is that the position? Is that what you want to do? You know, is that how you bury your talent? Is that exact? How you think God's reading that? Huh? What he's supposed to have? They really know. God's the one who's going to be reading this. He's the one going to be reading it. He's going to say, well, listen, didn't I made it possible. I kept you healthy. You had a job. You was able to go to a church close by. And the word was preached. But you did nothing. Just remember, the one who buried the talent didn't get in the kingdom. That's something you got to remember. Did not get in. So, be careful, because not everyone that says Lord, Lord enters. So who's ready? Because if you're not, you can pray to be ready. You can say, Lord, I'm not ready, but I want to be. I want that boldness to speak like Paul did. And I want to speak about the things of the kingdom. And they say, listen, you can't wait. Man, I hope they come today. It'd be great. I don't really have nothing to do. I'm not in a hurry. That's great. I never forget the first time is me and Philip. Philip was just a little fella. He's climbing that pear tree right outside. Get up there and eat so many pears he couldn't eat supper. Anyway, was hanging a net one time. Me and him was out there and he was just piddling around in the yard. Van pulls up at church. That's boldness. They already know we different. Sign says something different than their sign says. So I'm thinking, you know what? That's bold. So I said, Lord, you know, why? There don't have to be no fight. There don't have to be nothing ugly said. But I want the boldness to say the truth the way you want it said. So they pulled up and said, we're Jehovah's Witnesses and we come to share the good news with you. I said, well, I'll tell you what, that is amazing. I'm so glad. And I said, well, let's pray. You know, let's pray first. So I dropped the needle down, and we locked up and grabbed hands right there. I grabbed a hand, the other hand gripped me, you know. And I said, well, who's going to pray? I said, well, I'll do it. I'll pray. And I just prayed, Father, I just thank you for the death. Thank you for the people, Lord, you sent. I thank you for the truth. And all we want is to get to the truth. Lord, there's some things we need to know. And then I said, amen. And I said, so what do y'all have? And they started. They got a line. They got a line. They follow. It's just A, B, C, D. And I listened. I didn't interrupt them. I let them go through all their little points and things. And I said, well, let me just tell you what happened to me. The experience I had. And I said, I know you believe. In your heart, you really believe that Jesus is Michael, the archangel. And I said, to which of the angels said he at any time? Oh, boy. The one guy said, get in the car. He told the little boy, get in the car. We got to go. See? And so I said, listen, sir. I said, listen to me carefully. I said, I want you to really think about this. The scripture says it's better that a millstone be tied about our neck, cast into the sea, than to cause one to stumble. And I said, I'd really think about the message you're sending that little boy. Think about it really long and hard. I said, listen, we all need the Lord, but the message has to be right. They never came back, but I did what I was supposed to do. You don't have to yell. You don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to get in an argument, but you do have to say the truth. And what I said was the truth. And so be willing to do that. Acts 20, 24, and 25, we covered it earlier, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish the course in ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. So the kingdom of God and the grace of God is the same thing. Acts 28, 23. And when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodge in large numbers. How many are ready for that? Everybody say large numbers. The Lord dealt with me yesterday about that. Large numbers. So we put some things in motion. Large numbers. Large numbers don't start with large numbers. They might start with one. Then it's two. Then it's three. And then what happens? Exponential growth happens. Exponential. So one is gets one, and then two, and four. Do you understand? 8, 16. How many of you understand that? That's exponential. And that's what we're expecting. They came in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the what? What was he solemnly testifying about? The kingdom of God. How many ever have been in a testimony service? You know, we testify in church. Where should we testify? You understand? We testify in church. Where should we testify? Solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God. That's what we need to start doing. Remember our goal for the starting for this year? What was the goal? Who remembers? Who remembers the thing I said the Lord spoke to me dealing with this year coming? One of the things that should be a major thing that we commit to. One person. Remember that? One person. Just one in here, reach one. One. Get these texts down. You know them. Just like John 3:16, and express this. One, reach one. What happens to this ministry? Our ability to reach out further is exponential. It just goes. And that's what we're getting ready for. So he was solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both what? The law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. Notice that. So can you preach the kingdom with just the law of Moses and the prophets? That's what he was doing. You know why? That's what he had. He had the scripture. What was the scripture he had? He had the Torah, that we do the Torah portion. He had the Torah and the prophets in the Psalm. He used that. Isn't that amazing? So listen, we can talk about, well, it's a New Testament thing or Old Testament. It don't matter. This is a Bible thing. If you want me to teach you the kingdom of God, I can do it any way. You want to start in the Torah or you want to use the revelations. Either way, you could teach the kingdom because it's everywhere. Everywhere. Did I finish? Was that 8? One more. Acts 28, 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. Notice that. What was he doing? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. I believe when our message is right, the Lord's going to give us favor with people all over. And we're going to experience some of that unhindered. How many are ready to experience unhindered? You ever had something, just you was about ready to get ready to do something, minister to somebody, and all of a sudden something happened, and then you just got completely sidetracked, and it just didn't happen? How many are ready to get to spots where it's unhindered? That's going to happen. So, wow. That's just a small portion of some of the texts that we're going to learn in this series. And you'll hear me say this again. I'm going to go back over this again. I'm not sure I'll get on it for Sunday. But it'll come about again because we're going to reiterate a lot of these scriptures. So tonight, hopefully, we've learned that if we just focus on the eight kingdom texts in the book of Acts. And you can read the whole chapters that these particular scripture are in. The time was not permit us to do that, but I encourage you to do it. So find the entire chapter that these scripture are in and read the entire chapter. If you say, well, I want to see it in this context, by all means, go read it in this setting. I just pulled them out of their text just to get us through tonight. But if you want to go read them, I've read them. Multiple times I've read them in the setting. They're absolutely fantastic. So I hope that you're seeing that. And I hope that you see that I'm passionate about this. It's so important. It's so important. And let me tell you, God's showing us little looks into what he really wants to do. Once we get rid of the fear and we're willing to talk to people. So this is something that I can tell you, I'm going to go through this in such a way that you're going to learn something. You're going to learn. If all you learn is patience through this series, then you're going to learn something. But we're going to go through it. And we're going to be very methodical as we journey our way through it as far as the scripture goes. And it'd be nice if you knew all the scripture. But there are hundreds of them, so it's good. It's a tough task to learn them all. But if you want to start somewhere, eight kingdom texts in the book of Acts. Eight of them. They're fantastic. Anybody have anything? Questions? Comments? All right. Well, just know, when you come, is to learn from the word, and hopefully that's something that we did tonight. How many learned something tonight? You can know more about the scripture. Hey, keep studying it. Keep studying it. Let it be a ministry to you. All right? God bless you. I love you. We'll see you on Saturday for the Torah portion.